Hallelujah. Welcome somebody by your side. It's good for us to be here. Come on. It's good for us to be here. It's good for us to be in church together today. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's good for us to be here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Before I begin to share with us today, I want to I want to first of all take this announcement because it's very, very important. It's Money, Business and Economics. Money, Business and Economics meeting is coming up this Thursday and Friday. So on Thursday and Friday it's going to be MBE, Money, Business and Economics. It's a powerful meeting, you know, and bring so much blessing to your life. You see, I don't come to church. I'm doing this because it's a very special meeting, and I want you to be there because I'll come to church and on Sundays we're doing things like this. We're teaching the Word of God, bringing things like this to your light, and then on Wednesdays we're equipping you and strengthening you, you know, and then we have these meetings like Love and the Word. Love and the Word. We'll talk about love. Relationships, boy, girl, man, woman, love, all stuff. And then we have Red Friday for married couples. And then we have MBE. MBE is for everybody. And I don't do these things. The things I want to teach and talk about during the Money, Business and Economics, they're not things I would do on Sunday. So I have two sessions of MBE, 2 hours this Thursday and Friday. And I have another 2 hours later in the year. We'll announce that again. So that's going to be 4 hours. That's like as if I'm teaching 4 Sunday services and talking about money. I don't know how other people prepare their teachings and do their stuff, but I can't come to church on Sunday and do Money, Business and Economic stuff. It's totally different entirely. The environment is different. The engagement is different. I want to talk about money. The special focus this time around is money and how to increase your and grow your income. Your financial, how to grow financially from any income level, right? So it's going to be very powerful. I'm doing this because it's going to be very powerful. It's going to really bless your life. It's going to help you financially. Because on Sunday, you say, is this all you talk about? I talk about these things, but I also talk about other very important things. And I have meetings for them. So it is important that you pay attention and come for those meetings. I'm going to do over an hour, actually. I'm going to do over an hour on Thursday, over an hour on Friday. That would be equivalent to my 1 hour on Sunday. So if you say, why not just do teaching on Sunday? It gives us Money, Business, and Economics, and this special meeting gives us extra months. Let me put it that way. Because through the year, I will do over 4 to 5 hours of MBE. That will equip you financially. That's equal to my teaching you on Sunday 1 month. I don't know how somebody comes on Sunday and I'm teaching about relationships, how to honor your husband, do that stuff on a Sunday morning. I can't do that. I don't know. I can't do that. I will do that during Love and the Word. I will do that during Red Friday. And talking about relationships and all those kind of stuff, sex, relationships, do that. I do that. I do it. But I can't do it on Sunday. So on Sunday, we'll come and learn things like this, help us, the Christian work, that kind of service. Then that meeting will be for that. Now, I can't come and ask asking about your business, your money on a Sunday morning. I am not doing that. So what we do, I don't do that. So what we do, we have these special meetings for them. So you understand. So these meetings will help you in that direction. Right? Alright, so please don't miss MBEs on Thursday and Friday. Registration is compulsory. It is free, but it's compulsory. Because we just want to pass these things to people who are interested, really, really interested in learning these financial principles and growing financially. Hallelujah. Alright. Then we'll do Easter Sunday is coming up. Then we'll do Easter Sunday, and then we'll begin. We'll talk about. I think that's the next thing after MB. Now I have these teachings. Then I have Easter Sunday, and then we'll go forth from there. Amen. All right, it's good for us to be here. Have you welcomed somebody by your side and said it's good for us to be here? Please welcome somebody. Say it's good for us to be here. Hallelujah. This will be my 4th hour in my conversation. In this conversation, talking about the human side to the divine blessing. The human side to the divine blessing. There is the human side to the divine blessing. There's these things that God wants to do in your life, and He wants you to understand how it will enter into your life, how it will come into your life. And God wants to give you good things. This is a year of glad tidings of good things. He wants to give you good things. And this is how they will enter into your life and profit you. And here you enjoy them as the case is. And there's this human side to the divine blessings of God, the divine word of God for your life. So when God has given you a word, God has spoken something to your heart, you must understand that it will walk through human, right? There's that human side to it. And if we understand the human side, we'll begin to nurture relationships. We're not just going to we need to nurture relationships. We're not expecting God to bring these things from the sky, from heaven to us, but we know that He will pass through men, and these things, the things He has in store for us, will get into our lives through humans. So there's the human, there's the divine blessings. There's the divine blessings. Come on, are you still here? I just started off now. Pay attention. There's the divine blessings, and there's the human side to it. So if you understand the divine blessings, people already understand the divine blessing. And especially believers, so we come to seek the divine blessing. We come to seek God and receive the divine blessing. We receive His word for our lives. But we miss the human side to it. And so when He eventually comes to us, we miss Him. Because Jesus Christ came and He was just a man. 2 years, nose, eyes, walking with legs, no floating, nothing supernatural, nothing like that. You see the issue now. And so when a God comes to you, what is in your mind when we say God is coming to you? What comes to your heart when we say God wants to reach you, God wants to bless you, God wants to help you? You are thinking now that God will come down. And then you will know, you will see Him clearly that it is God. And then you will now retake it. No. I know I have gone 4 hours on this conversation, but it is a very, very important conversation. It is a very important conversation. You see, because we've looked at a lot of stories. We remember, I think this statement is very powerful. I found David, a man after my own heart, a man who will execute all my will. So God's will has to be executed by what? A man. A man. So he said, I'm looking for a man who will execute all my will. You see that now. So I have a will, but I cannot execute it. I need a man who will execute it for me. So he was looking for David, a man after his heart, who would do what he wanted to do. What he wants to do, he could not just come down from heaven and do it. He needed a man to find a man who would do everything he wanted to do in the life to the people of Israel. That's how he was looking for a man. So you can imagine how God will be seeking and coming to you through a man. If God really came as God, shining light and floating on the air, do you think anybody would reject Him? Nobody will miss Him. Then there will be no faith. Then there will be no faith. You see, and when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, I mean, just stay with me because this hour is also very important. And when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, you would have thought He would appear to the Pharisees, the Sadducees. He would appear to all those guys and say, you see, I told you. He didn't appear to any of them who did not believe. He only appeared to people who already believed. Look at it. There'll be no faith. So He wants us to act in faith, dealing with each other in a way. And this will help us act in faith and act in wisdom. And we deal with each other and sow seeds in the life of people through which He will now use to bless your life. Come on. Amen. And so He will not come and say something to you and say, that person there is passing God. This God is there. No, but truthfully, God is in us. He's in you. He's in the person sitting next to you. And you know, you meet a need or you care for that person and you love that person. You are sowing that seed into somebody valuable, somebody that is valuable, somebody that has the nature of God. And then God will now also repay you. So when we are doing good, when you are pouring out your heart and you are lifting somebody up, truthfully, you are sowing seeds for your own lifting. It is very important. Don't say not just person. If God came again, if God came, you know why people miss God everywhere? Why we can still miss God today, in our lives today, 2026? It is because He will not come and be floating on the air and say God. He will come as a human being. Eyes, legs, no man like this. When the prophets, you know, when you are reading the prophets now, you know, we have successfully deified them. We've made them, I mean, great guys, a prophet Elijah, Moses. Do you know that Moses was just a man? Moses, you know he was man. He was not any feather or darker or anything more than the normal average man walking on the streets.
The Lord don't know you. You know, if you saw Elijah pass here now, you might not have known him. He would have said, I am Elijah. You would have said, You would have said, No, that's the truth. But now you are saying, Elijah, if Elijah come, because you have read the stories, because of that time, but then in that very moment, they were looking at them and doubting them like this. Not like this. So I'm saying, let us forget those things. Now, let's come today now. What about if God is coming to you? What if God has brought somebody into your life and wants to use that person to bless you, to speak a word into your life, to guide you, to counsel you, not just to give to you? Because sometimes people are talking about God will come, God will not give somebody money, the person will not come and give me money. Sometimes the person will give you counsel. The person will give you a word. Sometimes the person will just be your friend. And that friendship, we've looked at, we've gone 3 hours, this is my 4th hour, that friendship could come in into your life and it will play a role maybe in years to come. Come on, years to come, right? We talk about Esther, Mordecai, and from the book of Esther, how Mordecai has helped the king, and nothing. Nothing. And then it took years, and God used it. And then the king could not sleep, and saw something, and said, oh, alright, what have we done for him? And he said, nothing. Imagine somebody does something for somebody. He saved his life. Truthfully, if you were to cancel Mordecai, what would you say? King is wicked, the bad man, they can you imagine, wicked people. From now on, let me change. Let me start doing evil. When they were not looking for Mordecai to bless, they would have found him doing one very evil thing. So we said, do not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, you will reap. There's a possibility of being weary in well-doing. When you are doing good and pouring your heart out, will people hurt you? Yes. Will people forget you? Yes. Mordecai was forgotten. Joseph was forgotten, but God was there. I have a teaching you might want to get the beauty of divine memory. The beauty of divine memory. This is a teaching I did in the year 2020. I can't forget the year. It's that powerful. The beauty of divine memory. You will do things for people and they will forget. But there's one person that will never forget. It is God. God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. He will not forget. So you will do that. There's a beauty about divine memory that he will always remember. You can do something for somebody and he will entirely forget. Totally forget. In this life, that person can forget. That is why, again, another great revelation in this series is that we reap what we sow. Not necessarily from where we sow. Right? You must also understand that. That word, as simple as it is very powerful. The Bible says you reap what you sow. It doesn't say from where you sow. So you could sow into somebody's life and then the person walks away, forgets and all that. But that seed you have sown is intact. And heaven will remember. And then you will also reap it again into your life. And then you can use that as faith and strength, projecting into the hearts of the people around you. Yes, I use that. I say, I've sown these seeds. And I pray that even for my life, for my children, both physical, spiritual children like you, that as you go out, that other people also will sow seeds into your life. And so I'm living in a kind of a way because I know that the seeds I sow will be reaped also by me and the people around me. Amen. And so this relationship and dealing with people in us is very, very important. The building and nourishing and seeing God in the hearts of people. In 1 Thessalonians, I want to show you another scripture. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, I'll begin from there today. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 13. You miss this thing. People miss this thing a lot. I'm thinking that if God can, I go know. The problem is that when every time he came, nobody knew. They will never know. You will never know. He will come as flesh. That's why we began talking about this thing. We said the word became flesh. He will come as flesh to you, like a flesh, strong person, and come to you. It's very important that you get this revelation. And then that Christianity goes beyond just our worship towards God, but our dealings with men, and we are dealing properly with men. Next week, I will get into gratitude, thanksgiving, and really appreciating people. When we talk about thanksgiving, many times we say give glory to God in this man, but God will walk through a man. And that's a religious thing there, where we say God did it, and then we ignore the hand through which he did this thing in our lives. Yes. And so there are times I tell people, when you come and do thanksgiving to God, and we talk about giving glory to God. That's what I prefer. I'm not saying there's somebody with that. I talk about giving glory to God, and then giving thanks to men. I will appreciate the people in my life who have brought the blessing of God in my life, because God used them
to bring blessings into my life. And you know, sometimes we are praying and we are crying to God to touch us, to help us. And then God will bring somebody and give us counsel. Come on, counsel that will change our lives. You know, for my clinic, for my business, somebody very instrumental and God uses to help me bless. Just a colleague there. But I relate, we talk, we do all that stuff, and then I am helping there, she's helping, and we're talking about stuff, but ideas and thoughts and things are flowing into my life through her counsel. Many times, I say, I want to do something. I just want to buy, I'm buying something. I, the first person I called, I said, see, I want to buy this equipment. I think I'll need it for this. I said, this is the price. Is this thing good? He says, it's very fair. Just make sure it's working. We tell, you know, God wants to help you. I call, I take it for counsel and just let God speak to me through the people around me. And then I just keep going forward. But this me, I just know and I'm doing is very, very dangerous. And God wants to reach you through the people around you. Sometimes it's just counsel, sometimes it's money. Many a times it's just to bring people to speak the word to you and help you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, I want to show you how to relate with men. Not necessarily just men of God, but how to relate with men. You know, I've been showing you stories, but this is in the New Covenant, New Testament. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 13, the Bible says, for this cause also, I want to say that I know I've gone 3 hours, this is my 4th hour. Don't get tired of it. Just pay attention, right? Get this. I teach like this. I do this on purpose. Actually, when I have something very important, I just keep drilling into it. I want it to sink into your spirits and you begin to live in a certain kind of way so that you can get the good things that God has in store for you. The many things I'm seeing, the truth is that my greatest, if you want to ask me, you know, I've told you before, the greatest secret in my life is the people around me. God has blessed the people around you. Say, God bless me. The blessings will come in the form of flesh people around you. Do you understand that? The man that God has blessed, the man who has people around him. I'm talking about your Facebook friends. So. I'm talking about Instagram likes. So. I'm talking about people, right? All right. This generation, it's difficult to talk about friends. All right. For this cause also, I thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, what? The word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You see that? Do you see that now? When ye received the word of God, which ye heard from what? From us. So the word of God came to them, but they heard it from what? From Paul. From Paul, men. But the key here, the real thing here, what made the word a blessing to them, is that ye received it not as the word of what? Men. So how do you receive the people around you? You must see them with another eyes. You must see them as people that God has sent to you. Are you here now? Yeah, this is, Paul is talking about how we receive the word and is preaching to you and the word of God is coming to you. But the key here is that he was talking about receiving, how people deal. So when they were dealing with Paul, they did not just deal with Paul as a man. They went beyond and said, God is talking to us. God is speaking to us. And so that's how when they receive the word of God like that, it blessed their lives. That's the way it blessed their lives. So if we are when we are working with somebody, you could be seeing the man, but God is behind that man. God is behind that man. Amen? This will bring me quickly back to my conversation last week because I ended showing you a very important principle in this God relationship something, relating with men, the human side. That God will come to you, and many times when these relationships are bettered, the God relationships are bettered, many times, they'll be bettered in terms of work, they'll be bettered in terms of responsibility, they'll be bettered in the point of difficulties. That is the secret why many people miss it. Because while somebody else is seeing work, somebody else is seeing God's blessings upon my life. You see what I'm saying now? Alright, we started to look at this when we considered We considered Lot, right? In Genesis chapter number 19. So let me touch that and just go forward. It's going to be an easy ride. We just move forward. In Genesis chapter number 19, and there came two angels to Sodom and to Sodom at even. You know, the Bible said there came two angels. It's telling us, but they did not know they were angels. They were like men. We know they were angels, but they didn't know. Not even Lot knew, right? And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. Next verse. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray." He said, "My lords," these same angels, "my lords, turn in and pray, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the streets all night." We read this. Just go next verse. I just want to do this and go. And he pressed upon them greatly. And they turned unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. You see, they're there now. You see, it was his nature, and he was helping going out. He sat there waiting for strangers so that he could house them. These strangers we know today are angels. We know that, number one. We know also that they came for him. The only reason they came was for him. But they did not march to his house and say, "Lord, Lord, we have come to save you from Sodom and Gomorrah." Hi. You know why I'm doing this? Someone said, "You repeat yourself a lot." I laugh. I never, but I've not stopped. I mean, I've heard that in over 5 years now, so I've not stopped. These things must enter into believers. This thing must get these things. You hear what I say? They didn't come to his house. They were passing by. Sometimes the blessings that God has in store for us, passing through people, the human side, will not come and say, "I am God's instrument. I want to lift you up. Your destiny will change by me." You won't know. And the person might, now the second key there, which is the main key, is that it will even come as work. "I will use my food, my money, my sweat, my blood to feed you." Why? These great Christians who break free of selfishness will enter into God-like in nature. For God so loved the world that he gave. When that God-like nature is really in you, you break free of selfishness, you need to enter into the God-like blessings also. Selfishness, me, and how you keep these things for yourself is a very terrible thing. I'm telling you, that's one of the things God wants to break from the life, from your life. It hinders the blessing. It hinders the blessings. It can't enter because you are selfish and holding on to things for yourself. Imagine the man who spent his money taking care of these people, but these men were his blessings and he did not know. And they stood and appeared like men. Such that the men of Sodom wanted to come and sleep with them. As far as they were concerned, they were men. They didn't see them as angels. They were men. Men. I mean, we are reading the story. He himself did not even know. He came and was begging that they should take his daughters and leave the strangers. He didn't know. At that point, they were still looking. And the only reason they came was for him. So, don't mistake it. God's blessings in your life will not always come and announce itself. It can come in form of work in relationship with somebody else. Now, it might be that in this case, you see this case, that they came to help him, they came to save him. But in many cases, you just sow that seed there, and God has the right to use that seed you have sown in lifting somebody up to lift you up later in life, to protect you and to keep you. Are you here? They didn't know. They didn't know. And it came as work. It came as labor. It came as doing something for somebody. It came as doing something that will cost you to help somebody, to protect somebody. Notice, the key here is not all that stuff. The key here is God's, the human side and relationships in your life. We are thinking, many people think it's wise. They think they are working with them. Relationship that just seems to be difficult, cut off. People are going through things around you, and the first thought in your mind is cut off. No, extend a helping hand. Be a blessing. That could be God's means to reaching and blessing you back. Are you here? So we see now they came as men, and then he received them and spent money and energy, and they actually came for him. They didn't announce it. Go to Genesis chapter number 19. We'll see another case here where he came. Genesis chapter number 18, verse number 1. Look at it now. Look at this one now. This is Abraham now. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. Right? And the what? Who appeared unto him? Lord, have you? And he sat in the tent. No, now he wants to tell us the story, how the Lord appeared to him and where he was. He sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Huh? All right, next verse. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men. Lord, men, Did you see that now? Lift up his eyes and lo, three men. Go back to the first verse. Go back to the first verse. We know because we are reading Bible. That's the issue. That's why I am trying to do it. If I see Elijah, may I tell you I'm a believer. I'm here now, you won't believe. This is your problem. If you see by Jesus, there's no way I won't join them. Jesus was just a man, you would have joined them. He was just a man, like walking with legs and going. He was eating, you see him eating bread one place. He just went. Huh? And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. You see that now? And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Next verse. And he lifted up his eyes and looked. And lo, what? Three men. Three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground. This is people he didn't know. Next verse. And said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Now me, girls, now you be stranger. Go your way now. What you consign me? Is this hard? Unknown to him, it was the Lord. He was inviting God to his house. I can't teach this thing enough. Do you understand what I'm saying? If it were Jesus, you know what you'd have said? I know his mother. I know his father. The table in my house, it was the father that made it. Then this bloody Jew now says that he is the Messiah, that he will bring a blessing to me and my generation. You, hey! That's how it would have been. These ones were strangers, so it would be tough. You could say strangers. I want to strangers. I probably said that. I'm stopping to say that. This Lord just wants to help me. It doesn't mean that it must be a stranger. It can be somebody you know very well. Because they knew Jesus very well. But he could yet do no mighty works. No mighty works. Why? They didn't believe. As far as they knew, as far as they were concerned, it was Jesus. And he was with his father two years ago. They came to fix our roof. So it's not this one that is now talking, he's doing miracles. They couldn't believe. Jesus was there. If you stop and ask yourself now, would you have believed? Don't be worried. The way you will ask that question, answer that question, is today. Well, how many times have you missed this thing here? It says, come. And it was this time, right, that the Lord spoke to him concerning Sarah can do. And in many instructions, in many teachings, I would say, I'm not taking it as the word from God cannot get into your spirit and do something for you, but he had to come in flesh to say it with the mouth from a man's mouth and declare it in. Because he could have just said to him, and go. He came in form of flesh and said it now. He said it this time. So he has said it though. Your wife will conceive. But he now came in form of flesh to say it. That's when he got it right. That's when he got it. That's when he conceived. That's when she conceived. Are you here? Yes, but they came in like what, strangers? They came like walk. They came like walk. So some walk around you is God wanting to bless you. Don't turn away from those relationships. People don't know why we don't just turn away from relationships. Just say this is a castle. No. Many a times, the person who wanted the blessing, the person who needed the blessing was Abraham. The greater people that didn't even need protection, the angels didn't need to eat in Lot's house. Neither did they need to rest. Who really needed something in this relationship? So we say in the relationship between God and man, man is the beneficiary. But if you find all these stories, the people who need something, seem to have been more than the people who were helping. They were helping them, but Abraham needed his own. Lord needed this deliverance from Sodom. But he was helping people in his house. House that will not exist in the next 24 hours. The people that he was helping, they didn't need any escape. They would just disappear. They were not even hungry. I don't know where the food went to. Don't ask me that question. But they were not hungry. They were angels. They didn't eat food. Just think about cartoon. In that place, think about cartoon. I'm just going. Cartoons, though, they don't really grow. They remain that way. They can eat for 5 years and still remain that way. They didn't need it. It was Abraham that needed the blessing. But the blessing, stay with me. This is why I'm doing it. This is why people don't enter into it, because it comes at work. The people who know this, that's why you are blessed. People who notice now, when they see work, they will help. Madam, I beg, help me carry this water for head. You don't even know the woman before. Are you even sure there's a real woman like that? Woman be like that. I'm in a hurry. I'm not joking, no. Go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews, inside New Covenant, show you. Hebrews 13, let me show you something. Hebrews chapter number 13, let me show you something. The people that were bringing help were greater than the people who were asking for help or that needed help. They didn't even need the help. Verse number 1, let brotherly love continue. Verse number 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels, what? Unawares. They didn't even know. But just help me carry this people. You say, just pour water for my clothes. You pour water for my clothes. I'm dressed like this. So therefore, put the thing there, walk your way, look back, the verse is even there. I just want to sow a seed. I just want you to receive this blessing. I want to know who you want to bless. Are you here? Enough tales by moonlight. Enough tales in the hot. Huh? They said, the man actually didn't even know that the man was this, the man was this. And I say, hey, fairy godmother. What about his angel? Please, where is this stuff? You stop and patiently. Do it is one thing. Do it with, use your brain now, use your brain. Pass this place, touch this. You still damage everything. Help somebody. Help. Really help. If you want to help, really help. Right? Anything help. Try this and, oh, sorry, do that and go. I beg, help me. You know, I don't know if it happens to you, but it happens to me a lot. A lot. I don't know I'll try. Maybe I'll be like Pastor Ace one time. I don't know. I don't worry. I want to say something. Somebody can be there waiting for help. People will be passing. They will not stop there. It's me doing just again. I don't know. What did I do? Why are you stopping me? I think they see that you probably will more responsible, will help, will do that. But I don't want to keep begging everybody. Help me leave. Some people have passed that place. And some young pastor just say, oh God, brother, help me carry this. I'm like, why you not ask the person who just passed this? I don't know. Whether it's the hair, whether it's most of the time I'm talking my shirt, whether it's the way I'm just cool, whether it's on my face, I don't know what's on my face. But they seek you out. And seek you out for a blessing or for work. Hey, that's not for work. If you say it's for work, you miss it and dodge. What about this for a blessing? Are you here? So when you get that thing, don't be angry. Many times you're like, why did you call somebody? Why did you call somebody else for help? When you are called for help, render that help. Let brotherly love continue. It is for your blessing. Are you here? Help that person. Send that. Just be of help. As much as it is in your power, be of help. Leave somebody else. God wants to bless you. He needs you to step out. He always made them do something. John chapter number 4. What is John chapter number 4? Let's just keep on rolling. I hope you are getting something. Trying to establish this today in terms of this labor and pouring into people. I've always wanted to do it, but I always keep it. It never really does work. Now, Jacob's well was there. Verse number 6. John chapter 4, verse 6. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey. Are you still in church? Sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. At 12 noon. Right? 12 noon. Jesus was weary. Next verse. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Next verse. She starts. For his disciples were gone on away into the city to buy meat. Next verse. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Next verse. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked him of him, and he would have given thee living water. Do you see that there now? Okay, so let's do that. If thou knowest what? The gift of what? Of God. But you don't know. And if you know who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, you will be the one asking. You see that there now? So Jesus sat there. Jesus. How would the woman have known it was Jesus? You would have given, you would say, I forgive her what I, if I don't say it's Jesus. That's the problem. As far as the woman was concerned, you are reading Bible. As far as the woman was concerned, it was one man like that. Because when she went again to report the matter, she said, come and meet a man. That's what she said. Come and meet a man who has told me everything about my life. As far as she was concerned, Jesus was a man. Give me water to drink. Jesus could have started preaching. I am Jesus. And, you know, anointed the Messiah. And my CV is in my bag. The CV contains everything I've done, the healings and all the, just that they are not here. My disciples took it. I have 12 disciples. So that 12, you know, is just some of them. When I travel, I carry with only 12. But he didn't say that. He said, give me water to drink. Are you here? And the statement he made, if you have known the gift of God. How many times we miss the gift of God because we do not see it? How many times we do not know who it is speaking to us? But God wants to bring a blessing into our lives. I want to correct it. I'm correcting it now. I'm correcting it in a way to show you. I know what I'm saying. I want to correct that thing in you. When you meet somebody, pour into life. Are you here? Pour water. Give. Lift up, help. Either it's coming to you from that person, or it will come to you from somewhere else. But whatever you sow is what you will reap. Believers must learn to sow. We must learn to sow these things. We must understand when. You know, that's the difference. Okay, what's the difference between, you know, when a believer sees a need, and an unbeliever sees a need? How will we know who is who? The way we relate with that need. Come on. The way we relate with that need is the key. And so believers need to learn these things. It's very important that we relate correctly. We relate as to say, this thing is, I'm doing it towards God. But unbelievers will dodge. But believers will step out. And we will do that and receive the blessing. Do you understand? There should be a different mentality. That's what I'm saying. I'm correcting it. I'm rewiring your mind. Because people say, you know, guess, no doubt. You say, no worry, let's do this. I will do it. It will take my time. It will take some of my money. But I will do it. I will do it. I'm God's man. I'm the one God wants to use to execute his will on earth. And God will also use somebody to execute his will in my life. So he's looking for a man who he will use to execute his will, and then he will also use another man to execute his will in your life. That's how it works. So when you see work, don't turn away. Don't run away. Come on. When you see responsibility, don't run away. Pour out there. Give. Verse number 11. Can you read the next verse? The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? You don't know who you are talking to. What I want to give you. He didn't eat, you know, he didn't drink water. He didn't do anything again. He didn't do anything again. That encounter was to bless her. I want to bless you, but I need to know who I'm blessing. Believers, do you understand me? I need to know. That is the test. Simple test. People are failing it every day. Failing it. You do test and you pass, right? You know to the next grade. People are failing it and they can't go forward because they don't understand this is the test. I want to know who. Very important. We have one last one. Elijah, 1 Kings chapter number 17. Once it's time for people to give, to support, to be there, they'll run. They'll say they are smart. We are the smart ones. No. You know, you remember the story of David? Remember we read the story of David? Imagine David had passed that man and said he was very smart. He will surely recover all. You won't have recovered anything. And then you enter into a prayer circles again. And you enter into 40 days again. You have to find another opportunity to help somebody, to lift somebody up, to be qualified to receive it. Lot, strangers passing, he helped them, they saved him. Abraham, strangers passing, he helped them, they blessed him. Right? Jesus blessed this woman, brought salvation to her. Verse number 7. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Next verse. We're going to read some passage here. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Go back, please. You see where it says, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Don't mistake that word, commanded. It means that it is in her to do it. She has been designed to do it. When you are designed by God, it's a command. You have to understand that. It's not a mandate. Right? So, don't think that he came to the woman and said, now, when you come and do that. To clarify that thought, we just read on. Next verse. And so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman, not a widow woman, the widow woman was there. The widow woman, the very one that he spoke about. The widow woman, don't play with Bible. The widow woman was there. You know, if he had said a widow woman, would have been sure. The widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. You see again. He doesn't come and say, all right, woman, good morning, good morning. You know, I'm Elijah, and God has sent me to bless your house. Now, if you give me 2,000 naira, before long, the God of multiplication, the God of multiplication, when you release this seed, there will be a multiplying effect and you will receive abundance. In all my crusades, there's a man, he saw the seed, nothing. Another man stand for your front. That's faith. Do you understand what I'm saying now? And says, go bring water. And she was going, next verse, she was going. And as she was going to fetch it, woman, you don't even know her name. Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. Ah, it does scatter everywhere. Next verse. And she said, see, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. Just said, I have no cake. But I have one of me, and I'm getting two sticks, and I may go make this thing for you. I don't have anything. Water was easy. I will bring it. I will find water. It was not that easy, but you must understand, that was not that easy. But that's not in terms of difficulty. Because remember, there was drought. So water was not that easy, but it was easy. But the cake was worse. Ah. She stopped and said, imagine she said, give me water. She was going, bring bread. Stop, bring bread. The relationship started with work. But somebody brought a blessing to somebody. And the person who brought the blessing was just a man. Like this. And she did not know. She would have said, oh man. No, sometimes it's not a bad credential. Because we are waiting to say, so if God wants to, let him tell me. He has not told anybody yet that we have read. Come on. Are we together? Who really needed help here? The woman needed help more than the Elijah. You and I know. Elijah can do like this and be sustained. In fact, it was not him. It's not him now. It was Elisha that ate food. Ah? And went 40 days. So, God can give him spiritual food and he'll eat and he'll be okay. Are you here? Thank you, Jesus. So, we're not going to run. Come on. If you have an opportunity to help, you are blessed. I say you are blessed. He wants to bless you.
help. Differentiate yourself. Be the mumu of the community. Don't worry. I said, don't worry.
Let me tell you a story. It just helps it a little way, a little somehow. How that, you know, people come around, they want to, in where I work, they want to weld something. They want to weld something, and they're welding something for the complex generally. I think the landlord sent them. And they were trying to connect to somebody's meter. They had to put the welder, put the stuff in the meter, even if you understand. Electricity, no gen, that is life. So they will connect to the meter and they just weld the thing, do some stuff and all that. And then when they were there, for what? I don't pay red light, never. That. And when they came to do this, they want to weld something. It won't take, as the world won't end. Really, it's not that simple. I want to give you a personal story, real story. You know, it's not that simple. And go ahead, do it. And they went and then I told them that, look at what that person did. Look at the person who you say, it's a very nice man, that's a very nice person. And they did and left. They come to do something without stress. I don't see it at work. You are doing something, please, you have to move your car. I don't come and say, why? What's going on? Just move the car, help them. You want to do this thing here? You really help? Okay, do it. But it will help. We'll talk and then I go. You don't overwork everything for your own profit. It will affect me. I will die. When they raise rent, they raised my rent. I was going to pay. She came to my clinic, sat down. I was so she said, you don't decide delay. I said, I'm delaying this time. The rent is big. This is the amount. He said, for what? Huh? Why would they give me that? That's too much. No. She went, called her brother, called this one, called, and came and told me, how much can you pay? I'm not joking. She said, can you do this amount? I said, I can do this. Say, pay it. Say, if anybody comes, you come and tell me. I mean, the house family something anyway. So she said, come and tell me. What counted in all those things is that this guy is not difficult. This guy is not. Why would you do that? What I saved in rent, it's not just 1 year. What I've saved in rent going through the next few years is going to be far more than what they took from light meters and stuff. She carried matter and quarreled with her brother. I mean, quarrel. I'm not joking. She called call. She's talking and caught the call. Said, not sure. She's the elder. She's the elder sister, the eldest. And all the same. Came to me. I said, what do you pay? Do that? Say, pay it. If anybody comes, come and meet me. Tell them, call me. If anybody comes. Nobody came anyway. But, I mean, people will come out for you. The seed, you sow a simple seed. People take matters too much. Help somebody. That's what I like. I don't understand it. It will cost me, I know, but alas, what went? We'll go forward. Let's do something. You will not know how it will come back to you. Sometimes living this wise life of I paid my rent, me and you don't have any business. I draw my line, you draw your line. It is no good. People will call you back and say, why that good that you did? I was always telling my wife, imagine somebody comes to look for my trouble in my facility. Ha! I'm driving out. Somebody is in front of me, comes in a very funny way, and is parked there. And I park there. And then I say, why you can't do that? Across, if I say, doctor, I beg, they are doing, I beg, just ignore. People I don't talk to, but they see you go in and out. They see you nice. You come and say, somebody says, it's business. You pay the money. Now me and you, your neighbor for you. I say, neighbor for you. Okay, neighbor, I see you. We discount, cut here, cut. You are losing money. You will lose money, but you will gain relationships that will help you in life. I'm not joking. It's like a family something. I told one of my clients, I say it's like family business. Because you come and say this, I know people that have been my clients 10 years, 8 years, 9 years, and they come around. They almost want to pay. You know, pay this, that pay we do. You drive, take and go. Don't worry, take and go. But those relationships, they are very vital. Somebody says, no business, no, how do you call it? No friend in business. Oh, God have mercy on your soul. God have mercy on your soul. I'm not joking. So you come for money, business, and economics. I will show you an angle of this matter that you've not seen. We'll come there. We'll touch about it. I'm talking about money, how you can get money. But this is not it. This is another matter. But I'm showing you that these things you sow around you, these seeds you sow around you, and you are doing this thing, help a neighbor, you do that stuff, they will come back to you with blessings. Don't see somebody in need and lock your door. Don't see somebody in need and shut your heart of your bowels of compassion towards that person. He says, if your brother is in need, and he say, you say, go, be filled, be blessed. Say, what have you done?
You take out of that day and then support your brother there. That is very important. Not just to pray and go. Because Christians will spiritualize the matter and say, we have prayed for him, we will go. No, you will support there. You will help there. Make that thing there. Pour out there. God will use it to bring back to you. Maybe from that source. Maybe from another source. I'm not joking. Are you here? Sometimes you are laboring and you are doing small thing here. The effect back to you is very huge. If I talk about where I live, I keep saying that part. That's the part that only men know. Where I live, what I do. You just do nice, just be kind. You do silly things. You don't respond with silly things. I do by it, but you will punish yourself. You make relationships hard and you make your life difficult. I have somebody where I live, downstairs. This guy was so stubborn. You couldn't pay rent. Instead of you to talk nicely, he said, we showed her, landlady. My wife gave her. I just told my wife to leave her. When she gave quit notice, this man knelt down in her house. She said no. I begged. She said no. Her daughter begged. She said no. Let it be empty. This thing we do is the car pass my phone, do that. It won't help you. This same person that showed her went to her flat and knelt down and begged. She said no. She said, I will think about it. She said, I just said to think about it, not because I will think do anything, but so that I can go. But I won't agree. I told the daughter, let's talk to mommy now. This guy is this child. She said no. When you are doing, and you say that's character issue, it's not just character issue. You are the one at fault here. You are relating with somebody, and you are still relating that. He said, oh, the money from, I had the money. I transferred it, that thing that did not come in. So I now transfer from one account to the other account. It does not come to the account from which I can now pay. You will now beg. You have not your rights. You relate with people properly, and you get a blessing for it. And it now looks like if there's something so powerful about this matter. That is why I want to get to next week. I will finish next week. I will get to gratitude. Simple appreciation. Simple thank you can open doors for you. Thank you can open doors for you. We are really appreciative. Really be thankful. We'll get there next week. I will show you. These things. So there are three things I want to cover. Number one, that you are actually giving and you are helping people, right? And number two, appreciation. So all my talk has brought us to this place. We are going to give and pour our hearts to people. Number two, we're going to be appreciative. We're going to have to deal with people with wisdom and take a loss just to win later in life. I really hope, this is my prayer, that these teachings are helping you. That God will use men to help you. God will use people to bless you. You will sow the seeds. You will go out of your way and help somebody. And God will use that seed. That person, most importantly, whether that person or not that person, God will use that seed to bless your life. Amen? Amen? That seed to bless your life. Just keep doing good. You look like, you see, you don't have sense. Say, you know you already get sense. No problem. I leave that no get sense like that. It's far better. I rather that no get sense in this world and have the blessings of God upon my life than get all the sense and be in desolation and suffering. That's not the truth. That's the truth. I've never experienced, I'm being frank, I never experienced this problem. I never. I've told you from my office to my house, the same thing. I don't have a problem. We just say, middle of the night, move your car and say, oh, where you move my car? We park in such a way that you have to move. I don't have complaint. You don't complain, you don't shout. I don't say, country, say, please help me move my car. Help me move my car, please, so that I can't come downstairs. You say, I'll move it now. I mean, just. What does it take to help somebody? If you really can't come downstairs, that's your business. I will do it. It doesn't mean me, a whole me. Who are you? I pay my rent. You will pay your rent too. I pay my rent. It's not about paying my rent. I pay my rent. What I'm paying now is like 50% of what I should be paying now. You know what I mean? Said, you cannot increase your rent. You are like a son in the house. Just help me move the car. Or just, as you are going upstairs, help me carry this thing. What's the relationship between me and you? You are there, I'm here, I have business with you. Then carry one kind of faith. If you even carry, then you dodge it. I don't dodge it, just do it. Like a fool. But in those relationships, the blessings you get are significant. If you we're talking about human relationships there, it's still there. I've shown you one aspect of it. I'm not dealing with something else entirely out of this thing, but it's still connected to helping people and being a blessing. Help with something. Don't always dodge. The guys on the ground, lock the door, move first, may pass. If I have that opportunity, I'll come on. What is it? Can I help you? He said, it doesn't mean, why are you doing that? You know, a man, are you not? It doesn't mean. Are you still here? I mean, we need some things like this in church. Because people are wondering where God is. And I don't have that question. It's very there. I mean, I see the blessings everywhere. I can call. I say, I need this thing. I say, all right, I'll do this thing for you. I couldn't have said I went to buy. I just called. I called the person. The person traveled abroad. I sent a message. I called the person. The person traveled abroad and gave it to somebody else to sell. When I called the person and said, so me, and I mentioned my name, he said, give me. Hey, you are! No, don't say, you forgot me. I remember, I got you. I mean, we've not seen since school days. Since we left school, we've not had any business. We're not in the same state. And we've not had any business. But the relationship, she shouted, I said, see, this is what I'm trying to get. I called this friend, you know, she traveled abroad. I'm calling her, she said, you know, see, I'll call her, I'll talk to her, I'll do that for you. We've not spoken, this is the first time I've spoken. Yes. Sow seeds. It will come back to you. I'm not joking. I don't need it. Jesus said, send me a message this morning. All right, I'll send this. I'll do this. I'll say, all right, I'll show you my wife. I say, thank you, Jesus. I got that equipment. He said, a lot of people wanted it, but I'll give it to you. I don't understand. It's hard for me. I'm not joking. To turn that difficulty. Because you live in a setting where I pour your heart out. It's a sacrifice now, but it's a seed with a fruit. It's something you will get a harvest later in life. Amen? I want you to change. I want you to make up your mind to pour out. Anywhere you are, everywhere you are, every opportunity, take it as a blessing. It's not a curse. Take it as a blessing. Pour out. Give. Say, okay, no problem. Borrow. Do you want to borrow? Okay, take. Use. Bring it. Oh, thank you very much. So that's it. You won't die. You say, but what about if something holds, something happens? No problem. I told you about Jesus Christ, right? Sorry, I'll go now. I'll go. I beg you. He nourished Judas. So in his house, he nourished Judas. He was caring for Judas. He knew him and still cared. Okay, there'll be hurt. Now, if you consider the hurt, I want to say this, play with me. If you consider the people that hurt you, also please stop and consider the people that bless you. They say, Judas, I know. If I tell you my story, you weep for me. You say, this is the good part. If I tell you the bad part, you weep for me. You say, you are not joking, you weep for me. I point to people. I mean, what they do to you, you won't believe it. Not just me, you see life everywhere. But I stop to consider the people that bless me back. The blessings I get back, they are far more than the people that hurt me back. Far more. Out of 12 disciples, one hurt him, but 11 blessed him. It's enough like that. You should get that one. Stop looking at the Judas. Begin to ask for the 11. Don't ask for the one. Did you hear what I said? Don't ask because of one person. Ask for the 11 that bless you. 11 bless me, but I won't stop being me. I will never stop. I will pour my heart out to people. You will do whatever you like. That's your business. I always say, I have a right to sow the seeds I have to sow. You have a right to sow your own seeds. Sow your own. I'm going to tell you. I say, I have a right. What I will do it. It's my right. It's your right to do what you do to me. Anything you want to do to me is your. You are free to come up and slap me and walk away. You are free to write on social media as a bastard pastor and walk away. It's your right. Everybody has human rights. It's my own right to do what I do. So do whatever you want to do. But I will count on the people who bless me. And there are 11 of them. I will not start living because of one Judas. One Judas will make you start to treat 11 people like devil. How many of you are saying that? So right now, you now block for the whole 11. Where we bless in person, come. Come on. So this is. One will hurt you back. Hurt is there. Hurt is real. Every authentic relationship, please let me. I'm finishing up this matter. I'll come to giving thanks. Every authentic relationship, if it's authentic, you will suffer hurt. If it's authentic, if it's not authentic, somebody does something to you, you are not hurt. It means the relationship was not authentic in the first place. And make all your relationships authentic. That's the only way you can also not get the blessings from them. It's a trick. You see the trick there. If your relationship is not authentic and you are being wise, you won't get the blessing. You will not say, pastor said nonsense. If it's authentic, you pour out, you might suffer hurt. But that hurt is the person's hurt. It's not your hurt. Because you will get the seeds you have sown later on in life. Even when it comes to your relationships. I mean sexual relations. I mean your boyfriend, girlfriend. The same principle apply. You know, people are having girlfriend and playing smart with the girlfriend and say this. I mean, there's no me. I don't see how that one works. Anyway, it doesn't work for you if you end up marrying the person. It doesn't work for you if you don't marry the person, because the situation will catch up with you. Let them break your heart. Huh? When I went to my house, I told my wife, I said, this is where I was sitting there crying. When the girl finished me, I sat on this ground, on the ground here crying. I was showing her. I said I was crying. For nothing. What did I do? I beg now. Marry me now, please. Is that you? It's authentic. You're authentic. Your heart is real. You hurt. You be hurt. It's real. It's authentic. You eat the fruit of it later on. Amen? Somebody bless today. Would you bow your heads this morning? If you have been blessed, I want you to bow your heads and say, Father, I want to turn my relationships and make them fruitful. I want to make my relationships fruitful. I want to nourish my relationships. Would you pray? I really want you to pray. I'm not trying to end the service. I didn't want you to pray and say, today is my change. Today is the day I change. Every relationship, everyone, come on. Every relationship is an opportunity. Every person you bring into my life is an opportunity to sow a seed. Relationship with bosses at work, relationship with fellow staff, relationship in the house, landlord, landlady, fellow tenants, relationships, every relationship, Father, I make up my mind now to nourish and to be a blessing in every relationship. Would you pray this morning? I want to pray earnestly. Whether it's a client, come on, business clients, even a business client. Every relationships, make sure it is a blessing. You are the blessing in the relationship. You are the blessing in the relationship. There could be one Judas, but there's 11 blessings. Don't begin to treat all of them like Judas. You begin to live and nourish and bless, even though you know that this person is like this. Jesus knew, he knew Judas was like that, but he was still a blessing. That is the force, the power of being a blessing. Come on, can you pray this morning? I choose to be a blessing. I choose to pour out. I choose to be the one pouring out and helping and lifting all around me. All around me. All around me. Sale poko site le mabrato sikela. And when I come to church, my heart is open. My mind is open. God is speaking to me. Come on. I come to church. God is speaking to me right now. God is right here and right now, speaking through pastor to me, correcting me, teaching me something, showing me something. I understand the relationships. I see them now as a means by which God blesses me. I see relationships as a means by which God pours into my life. So you say, in the name of Jesus, I want you to pray earnestly. In the name of Jesus, I'm nourishing relationships. I'm seeing God in relationships. I'm seeing your presence in every relationship. In the name of Jesus. Salepokle daksike liene makosure kabaya. Zanta li broko li galeba sande ligopo. Ramalahayas. Jesus, I make up my mind now. I do not close and cover my heart towards my brothers. Brotherly love is in my heart. I'm pouring in the hearts of people around me. Blessing, lifting, in the name of Jesus.